I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Ladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said,
I want to make a podcast!
Only two others share this secret, Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show! Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show, part of the Mowich Radio Network. On the Super Awesome Geek Show, we talk about comics, toys, games, movies, music, sports, pretty much anything that we can geek out about. You can subscribe to us at geek.mowich.net, follow us on the Mowich Twitter at Mowich Blog, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/mowich.net. I'm your host, John. Today I have with me Eric and Jacob. Say hi, guys.
Hey, guys. Hey, everybody.
So today's topic is on Airwolf. Do you guys remember that show from the 80s?
Vaguely.
Vaguely, yes. I'm there. I'll take vaguely.
So Airwolf was a show in the 80s that ran from 1984 to 1987. It was about a super bad, we'll keep it PG, we'll just call it a super bad military stealth helicopter.
Bad as in good or bad as in actually bad?
Oh, it was good. It was a really
okay.
good show.
That type of bad.
Yeah, it was
city,
like bad.
Inner city version of bad.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pH and fat type
uh-huh.
of.
Uh huh. I'm bad.
You know it. Uh huh.
yeah, right.
Awesome.
So this helicopter was used in undercover secret covert ops to fight crime, stop terrorists, and generally keep the world safe in a Cold War period. So you guys really think it was related to the Cold War, right? I mean, like, that was like, we were in the heart of it right there, right?
Every show in the 80s was based on that.
It was definitely mentioned. The episodes
Smurfs,
I watched.
Smurfs was based on that, I'm sure.
Smurfs.
Cold War Smurfs. I have the largest Smurf, Barry.
They were the Smurfs were the Bolsheviks, and Gargamel? He was like Stalin or something.
Right.
I'm sure. I bet you anything.
Okay.
That's pretty safe to say.
Yeah, we'll see if anyone can.
You pretty much know with every show in the 80s.
So Airwolf was filmed for 3 seasons in the United States and had a 4th season that was filmed in Canada. In my opinion, that Canadian season doesn't count. What do you guys think?
Well, we don't want to alienate
really,
the king.
They're not really a country anyways.
Oh, no. No. We love you, Canada. We love you. Don't leave us now.
I like hockey. It's okay. It's good. I love hockey.
Don't leave, just comment. Just comment.
I like curling too, so I must be Canadian.
Cool. Props. Props to our Maple Leaf friends up there. We love your bacon. We love the maple syrup.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Like hockey.
Yeah.
The comments on the show do not reflect the individual.
And I actually like Tim Hortons a lot. There we go.
It's a beautiful country.
It is.
So for those first 3 seasons, Airwolf starred Jan Michael Vincent. Do you guys call him Jan or just Jay or John? Is it what do you does anyone know how you pronounce
Michael
that?
Vincent. Maybe in some other shows it was just like the initial J. I don't know. I always knew it as J. Michael Vincent, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I always went with Jan. I always heard Jan, but I could be wrong. That's
Remember this show came out when I was literally I think I was between the ages of 2 and 5.
Right.
So
awesome.
That's how much I remember of it.
Okay. So do you think your parents watched it?
Oh, my parents did. My dad totally did.
Yeah, he did. So do you remember like seeing him watch it or?
Can we get him on the show?
That's right. I remember 5 minutes that was recorded before Super Bowl 20, which is the Bears and New England Patriots. There's 5 minutes. My
that's
dad
a bit of,
had
that's a bit of time. Yeah, what was going on? That's a bit of time. What do you remember? What
there
you
was
got?
A helicopter. They were in a desert thing. And there's people with guns.
Yes, yeah.
That's about all I remember. It was like a desert, not like Sahara Desert, but like, you know, like California Desert.
I think you just described the four seasons of Airwolf.
I guess I know everything about it then. It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you're on a good start. So Jan Michael Vincent played Stringfellow Hawk. Everyone called him String on the show. He was the pilot, the main guy on the show. Wasn't he? Now, his background was like Vietnam and ex-military, right?
Yeah, he was in the Vietnam War. Uh-huh, that's true.
So, okay, so that's a similarity to the Blue Thunder, which is the,
right. They
the
do
other
have
show.
Some similarities. That's right. So, he's a male Vietnam era pilot. He lives alone. That's another thing he's got in common with Blue Thunder. So those two fellows, right. That's what I got right now as far as the, lead hero similarities.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to mention there was another show called Blue Thunder. It was a movie first, and then it came out as a TV show. It was kind of like they considered Airwolf the rival to Blue Thunder. Mm. I personally have always thought Airwolf was cooler. Mm. That can be debated. Mm-hmm. But so the show Airwolf also had Ernest Borgnine, right? Borgnine?
Yep. He was he wrote him back. By the way, just to let everybody know, he's my favorite character. I really like him.
Oh, wow. I recognize him.
He was in the Poseidon Adventure, I think. Did you click on his IMDb or whatever link you got there?
I'm on Wiki in this picture. I remember him from reruns of McHale's Navy.
Yeah.
My mom used to watch.
Right.
That's how I remember him.
So his character, for me, I enjoyed him the most, and I'll tell you why. He's a helicopter pilot. He runs a successful helicopter charter business, and his character is sort of, I'm assuming it's like the mentor. Would that be right, John? He was sort of a mentor to...
That's kind of what I put down. He played Dominic Santini. Dom was his character, basically. That's what they call him on the show, Dom.
Okay.
And I always looked at him as kind of like Strings conscious. And role model, you know, because there was often times in the show where it seemed like String wanted to go off and do something nuts, and Dom would always sort of like hold him back just enough so that he could accomplish that goal.
Oh,
do you feel that way?
You know, I only watched the first four seasons, so I don't know.
Episodes, not seasons, because that would have been all.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. That would include Canada. I'm kidding.
You can't include them. Come on.
We really do love you, Canada.
We're just having fun.
I'm from Buffalo, New York. I might as well be Canadian, really.
So,
they'll probably hate you for saying that.
That's true. The Toronto. Toronto.
I only watched really the first four shows. So, as far as his conscience, that's interesting. That probably evolves a little bit more. But I'll say this. With his skill set, because it seems like he had quite a few skills, he could also probably defib himself if he had to in the helicopter, right?
So. You're probably right. Yeah, he was kind of the MacGyver of the group, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, I don't think he missed a meal, if you know what I'm saying.
What?
It's
probably partially. He actually died only 2 years ago, apparently.
The actor, you mean?
He died of kidney failure.
Oh, wow.
On July 2012.
Okay.
Apparently, I was looking at the wiki. A lot of people, a lot of really cool people, showed up at his funeral. Like Gary Sinise, Dylan McDermott, Leonard Nimoy. There we go.
Wow.
Jenny McCarthy. I don't really care about that. Flea was there from Hot Chili Peppers. Bruce Campbell.
Nice.
Yeah.
And LeVar Burton, the most important one of all.
Oh yeah. Geordi, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah, Ernest awesome. Borgnine, Dom.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
I like that guy.
We miss you.
Yep.
So also on the show was Alex Cord. He played Michael Coldsmith Briggs III, codenamed Archangel.
Nice.
Now, this guy I thought was the coolest one on the show because he had all the mystery and all the intrigue. He had that eye patch, right?
Mm-hmm. And you notice the eye patch would change depending upon what he wore. So when he was in his outfit, he wore a white eye patch. He was very refined. He had that going. Yeah. Yeah, take a look at it. When he's wearing his white Panama outfit, he's got a black eye patch on. But when he's inside the copter, suddenly there's a white eye patch.
I did not know that. I somehow didn't notice that. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was in the one I was watching. They had this missile come inside Airwolf, and it was stuck in the side, and it was letting out this gas. And he reaches over and manages to dislodge the missile with his cane. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. You know a lot. All right.
No, that he was actually he had polio at age 12.
Really?
That was why he had the cane, apparently.
Really? Oh, so that wasn't even okay. Wow.
No. He had the cane. The character had the cane. He didn't have the cane in the first show. Go and watch the first show because he doesn't have a cane or an eye patch.
But I wonder if he didn't have the cane because he was trying not to have the cane. You know what I mean?
Maybe so. My understanding, that might be so. My understanding, and again, this is all up for grabs. My understanding was that due to a leg injury he had when he was attacked by Dr. Moffat, and I might be jumping ahead here, John, so stop me if you need
to. Go ahead.
But Dr. Moffat, who built, who engineered and built and was showing Airwolf, attacked the guys there where they were showing it. And I thought that's where the cane came from, but I'm open to correction here.
I could be totally wrong. I just know he had polio at 12.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Right.
Okay.
Well, so he was the point man, on Airwolf. I get, they call him the point man, right? So he's the one that they always contacted when they needed Airwolf for a mission. And then he would contact String and Dom, right?
Yeah.
That's basically how it worked, right?
Well, you know why they had to do that. They had to contact him because, well, you know, Stringfellow, he had hijacked Airwolf. He was keeping it. String booby-trapped it and put it inside the lair where Airwolf would hang out. And so he would have to go and talk to him. The other agencies were and apparently that was part of the story thing where the other agencies were trying to get Airwolf back. And so that would play a part. In fact, I saw one episode where they were trying to do that when Dom was flying a helicopter down south into Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, and that brings in the desert part that Jacob mentioned earlier, because that was where the lair was. It was in the desert. And didn't it go down inside of one of those big pillars of rock? That's where
it
was, right?
That was cool.
So it had to hover over the thing and go down into the rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then in the second season, I think we were introduced to her in the first season, but she wasn't a regular until the second season. And that was Jean Bruce Scott. She played Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, which was the female helicopter. What do you say?
It's O'Shaughnessy.
O'Shaughnessy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a teacher by that name as a learner.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. She was a helicopter pilot for the Texas Highway Patrol and joined the group. She helped as the co-pilot once in a while when Dom wasn't in there, right? Is that how, if I remember right, or do you guys not know for sure?
I haven't seen her at all.
I haven't seen her at all except in pictures.
Same. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember seeing her when I saw that 1 5-minute thing.
Well, trust me, she's there. Whether or not she was in the plane or not, we'll figure that out.
Cool.
We can leave that one hanging, right?
Okay. Okay.
So, Eric, do you have, I guess at this point we should just, talk about things that interest us in the show. I mean, Jake, Eric, do you guys have anything that you guys really liked about the show that you want to talk about? Or
I have a question I can start off with while people are gathering their thoughts.
Sure.
And my question is this. They have a patch, a crew patch for the team, right? And it's a patch on their arm. And on that patch, here. The Airwolf crew patch has a wolf in sheep's clothing and bat wings. I was led to believe that the wolf in sheep's clothing alluded to the fact that Airwolf can look just like a regular helicopter and that the armaments are hidden from view. Does anybody know if this was ever used in an episode? For example, were some bad guys sitting in deck chairs relaxing when this innocent helicopter comes flying towards them and they're all like, hey, tourists, and start waving until they notice that it's a trap and wind up getting annihilated by Airwolf.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. you know what I mean?
I could see Admiral Akbar sitting there in his chair. He's lounging with his drink.
It's
a trap.
But you know what I'm saying? Where they're just like sitting there. And I'm wondering if that was ever used. And that's sort of just a curious question that I had. It'd be kind of neat. Like, because it's a really nice looking helicopter that I think it's a Bell 222 or 222.
Yeah.
And okay.
Is it a 222? Like, we should have looked up what.
It's a Bell 222.
Okay. Okay.
Which looks like the modern news agencies use for traffic.
Yeah.
But at that time, I think it was kind of more of a military style.
Yeah.
Helicopter at the time.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, I am not sure if they ever actually got to use that. So that's part of the stealth, I guess, thing of it, right?
Right, because you can pack it all away. It doesn't look like some Apache helicopter flying in, getting ready to unload on you, you know?
Yeah, because I guess basically that particular helicopter, when it's not dressed in, like, military camo or anything like that, it just looks like a standard helicopter, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the guns aren't hanging out, and the rockets come out of the bottom, and so that's typically up in the belly.
Huh. Okay.
That's my question. So any listeners out there, let us know, respond and post, and let us know if there's an episode where they use that successfully. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to open that one up to the listeners, cuz I mean, I just don't remember back when I was a kid, and like I said, in preparation for this show, I may have watched the first four or five episodes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice it in any of those episodes. It seemed to me that every time the thing showed up, it was already armed for battle and ready to go in. I did not see them actually using any of the stealth part, at least yet.
Right. Okay. And apparently it hits its high speed. It goes a little over Mach 1. And apparently how it does it, when I was watching the first episode, there was a character, and I think she was a prominent character. I'm sorry for not remembering her name, but I think she said that they disengaged the rotors and the jets took over to help get it to over Mach 1. And I thought that was a little interesting mechanical detail.
Yeah, actually, that was the girl that was always helping them out. Wasn't she a mechanic or something?
Was she? You would know better than me.
Yeah, actually, I think there was somebody else in the show who was the mechanic girl. That might be who you're talking about that says that part.
Okay.
Does anyone know who that could have been, who that was?
I could. I would have to look it up. I didn't put her down on my character list only because in the first two episodes, which I was basing all my research on, she was there, but she wasn't as prominent as she was later.
You know, I wonder if that's Mirella. There was a girl who was his. She was a pilot, computer operator, and like the girl Friday of the group is what they say.
Okay.
And Mirella is probably who that was, I bet. And then he did have a dog. You remember Stringfellow had a dog? His dog was named Tet. And I guess it's a blue tick hound.
Right, and it's named after the Tet Offensive.
Is that so?
That's what I read. That's what I read. I read it on the internet, so take that one to the bank.
Yeah, grain of salt with that, right?
Yes.
You know, and this kind of comes up with a good thing, you know, like you mentioned the sound. And that was my thing about the character. Like, I felt like the helicopter itself was the character of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite thing about it was the sound. The sound that the helicopter itself made. Mm-hmm. And then also the theme song. I think this is one of the greatest theme songs in.
I remember as a kid. See, I only remember that 5 minute segment, but barely. But I do remember as a child loving the theme song.
Yeah, it just grabbed you. I mean, it was all like do 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 do.
It was adventurous. It was like, oh, we're going to go on an adventure. As a little kid, that was amazing.
Right. You know, in thinking about that, I think it's got a real fanfare intro kind of thing, right? Because before royalty comes through. That's what you would hear. It's saying somebody's coming through.
Yeah. And when the helicopter flew by, I mean, like, it just had that noise as it went by, and you were all like, oh my gosh, this thing sounds so cool.
Go ahead.
I found this apparently, if you want to actually see a scale model built by fans of Airwolf, it flies and everything. It's actually fully air and everything. It's at the Tennessee Museum of Aviation, and you can go there and see the full scale. I'm looking at it. It's full scale, built by fans, works and everything.
Wow.
Probably no weapons on it, obviously, but it looks like what a modern news agency would use now. For like traffic, but at the time in the early 80s, this, you can just look at it and tell, like, this was a top of the line.
Interesting.
Yeah, a helicopter at that time. It was totally like a military helicopter at the at that point.
I just posted a link for you guys. It's also inside the notes, but I have a link to if anybody wants to search for it on YouTube, it's called Coast Guard Helicopter Coolness. Type that in, and there's a Coast Guard helicopter that goes by, and it sounds pretty cool going by. It's not exactly like Airwolf, because I think they might have added some stuff to that. Because to me, when I heard it, it sounded like a TIE fighter to me, but I'd have to compare them side by side to see how close they sound, but it did sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it had one of those wicked scream sounds as it flew by. You know, you were just like,
yeah,
yeah, just going right by.
Yeah,
and that to me, I mean, I think two things stand out in the 80s for me. Like if I think back as a child of the two coolest vehicles, both in how they sounded and just how they looked and what they were, it was always Airwolf and Kit Knight from Knight Rider. You know, the Airwolf helicopter and then Kit from Knight Rider were like the two coolest video vehicles in the 80s.
I always, as a kid, I always wanted a motorcycle. I remember like laying in bed and just making like helicopter noises for some reason. I don't know. I was dumb.
Hey, do it for us. Do it for us here. Do a facsimile.
I
do
don't even remember how
just
I
try.
Did it.
Just try.
Like,
oh, okay. I
can't do it. I can't do it. But that and motorcycle noises. But Knight Rider, I totally remember watching Knight Rider too. That should be another episode, by the way.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, it's got to be one. Well, do you have anything else to add, or are we cool?
I put up a link for you guys, and it's also in the notes on wheels versus struts. I think it was a smart move in going with wheels on a helicopter. And there's a live link I put up on the disaster that can happen if you go from a strut helicopter, which I would have never imagined. And one of the guys at work put it up, and I was like, oh, my word. So that was pretty smart on their part. The wheels, there's an advantage to the wheels there.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason why the military – I've never seen a military helicopter without wheels.
Really?
Think about it.
Okay.
Think about it. Have you ever?
Did the Hueys or not?
Oh, the ones that were used in Vietnam, I think.
Yeah, but modern ones don't, do they?
The modern ones, none of them have wheels.
Really?
But I think the ones that were used in Vietnam were very particular. Like they were a type. They were mainly used for dropping troops off, like so. It didn't matter.
Okay.
You know, but I think I almost never recall seeing a military helicopter without wheels.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, that new stealth copter that was in, you know, all those newer movies, that doesn't have wheels, or it has wheels that were tracked up into it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it has
like a plane. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. None of the modern ones have skids in the military, do they?
They want to be as aerodynamic as possible.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing is making it really aerodynamic when the wheels can tuck up underneath.
Yeah, so the only ones that have the struts are the ones that are literally meant for people to be hanging out of.
Yeah.
You know, like the ones that people are going to have machine guns hanging out and doing crazy things.
I had just a couple more questions. One, do you guys know how much it cost to build Airwolf back in the day?
I think the show itself claimed that it was like $1 billion piece of equipment, right?
It was $1 billion.
Yeah, some crazy amount. And in the 80s, man, that must have been worth what, $100 billion?
Yeah, that's
well,
a lot.
Well, it says the Bell 222 had a twin turbine engine helicopter, whatever. It was first displayed as like a prototype in January 1974.
Okay.
Did they say how much the real helicopter cost to make?
I'm trying to find that. I can't see. I'm still looking for prices.
Prices. We're pricing out an Airwolf helicopter.
Well,
because right
this was
ladies and gentlemen.
This was one of the original. Like this is Bell 222, which is what the Airwolf was. But there's also the 222B, 222B Executive, 222. You know, it just it's all on the
I'm
base.
I'm sure they have all these.
I'm not
yeah.
seeing any price on it.
One of them has a Nintendo Wii built inside of it, you know.
That modern day, I wouldn't doubt it.
And a question about Dr. Charles Henry Moffat. Does anybody remember this character?
No.
Okay. He was a British scientist. He's the designer builder of Airwolf. And he's actually flying it when he attacks the facility that they're doing the demonstration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So he steals Airwolf. And the basic long short of it is he steals Airwolf to sort of live the BTK lifestyle in Libya, where he sinks an American destroyer and he's pretty free with sensitive information. So I thought he was an interesting bad guy in how, you know, I mean, again, he's a scientist, a designer, a builder, and yet he turns out to be this complete freakazoid, you know, who wants to go to Libya so he can torture women, which I thought was, and kill them, which I thought was interesting to say the least. So as far as his villainy.
Yeah, that's a, you're right. They don't make villains who do that kind of thing these days, right?
Yeah.
There's a price on, apparently I found a helicopter buyer's website. Or something, and this isn't that.
So yeah, okay. How much can we buy
Air
War
for? It's for rich people. Well, okay, I'm not seeing the regular Bell 222.
Right.
The 222A I'm seeing on here for $600,000.
$600,000.
Dude, that's within striking range.
That's an 81 Bell.
Does that come with instructions?
I don't know.
It's
in Brazil.
Used, you're saying.
So you'd have to fly it back.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, if it has a little instruction book, I'm sure I could figure it out, you know.
If Dom was around, he'd be willing to do it. He's got a helicopter charter service.
That's right.
He's gone south of the border with helicopter.
Right. It's probably his helicopter. It's from Brazil.
Wow. Wow.
that's where he's at.
And, I think, Eric, you told me a while ago that we can find cheaper versions of these helicopters, right? Didn't you say there were some that were like in the $20 to $30 range? Or at least,
you know,
they looked like it and we could paint them up?
You know, I wasn't a part of that conversation that I can recall.
Weren't they remote control little?
You can find remote control ones.
Yeah.
Those little mini helicopters.
Yeah,
yes.
Wasn't that you?
Yeah, you can find them. The Airwolf one, the little mini controller, they got three different sizes, and apparently one was made for Airwolf. And so you're looking at what, $40 to $60 for the
Is
smaller
that what
one?
It was? 40
yeah,
to 60?
a little over $100 for the big one.
Okay.
But those really small helicopters are kind of fun to fly.
So you can chase your cat around your apartment with one of these Airwolf.
Totally fly solo missions behind the sofa. Yes, this can happen. Yes.
I hope there's no terrorist behind my sofa.
Dude, that's right. Well, if they're there, it needs to go behind the sofa. So
yeah.
Good place to check.
Well, that about wraps it up for episode 3 of the Super Awesome Geek Show, our show on Airwolf. So I want to thank everybody out there for listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show on the Mowich Radio Network. The Super Awesome Geek Show is brought to you by Mowich.net. It's quite possibly the only service out there that's not entirely powered by evil. And we're also partially brought to you by Kingdom of the Geeks eBay store. Why settle for just a cave when you can have a kingdom? Find them at stores.ebay.com/kingdomofthegeeks. And check out the Mowich Reader and Player Service at reader.mowich.net. So we went to Comic-Con this past week. Jacob, did you end up even getting to go?
No, I never went. I had to work every single day.
And Eric, that's just not your thing right now, right?
Not right now, but I'm looking forward to going in the future.
You need to go.
Yeah.
Same with you. I need to go because every time you guys go, I'm like, even if I can't, I'm afraid to go to Comic-Con because there's all these guest stars there, like say William Shatner, and I'm going to want his autograph.
Yeah,
but I can't justify spending $100 or more on an autograph.
Next year, we'll make sure you guys all get to go for at least one day.
I want to go for one day because I'm
supposed
to be. Jason bought me a copy of John Scalzi's new book. Signed by John Scalzi, and I'm just like, I'm excited. I haven't even read it yet because I'm reading another book, but that's totally my next book because Old Man's War series. We could probably do a whole episode on each and every book of that series. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Cool. Yeah, it was a really good time. And this year at the show, we decided to start. I just started on a whim, kind of doing a thing where I would start asking a question. So we started putting together a little segment here, which we're going to do at the end of each of our Super Awesome Geek Shows. And this segment, for now, I'm just going to call it The Question. Dun, 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 you know?
Awesome.
Nice.
So yeah, while we were at Emerald City Comic Con this past weekend, sorry, I'm mumbling here.
Second biggest in the country, second only to San Diego.
Do you think so now?
I think it is.
New York and Chicago. It was last year.
Seattle broke, it's the second biggest. in the country. Oh, San Diego still beats it.
Well, of course.
I would love if one day we can all take a trip to San Diego.
Yeah, but the lines are too long. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But anyways, so we asked a bunch of the people at the show the question. And this time the question was, what do you geek out about? So Eric and I put together three of the answers for you here. We're going to so take a listen. Let us all know what you guys think. And we'll keep the conversation going on Twitter at MowichBlog. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Mowich.net. If you guys have anything to say about any of the answers that these guys give, please, give us a tweet, keep that conversation going.
Let us know, comment, share.
And if you want to share anything about the show, you know, continue talking with us about it. Let us know everything we got wrong, because we are geeks, and I'm sure we got some things wrong. And yeah, I guess until next time, guys, stay green, stay in
the
woods, and stay safe.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
See you later. Here we are at Emerald City Comic Con 2014. This year we decided to do The Question. What do you geek out about? We asked a bunch of comic artists, creators, writers, various novelists that were at the show. One of the first guys we talked to was Dexter Vines. Personally think he's one of the coolest guys in comics. He did one of my favorites, Old Man Wolverine. He also worked on that Superman Batman back in the day with Ed McGuinness. Currently, he's working on Amazing X-Men. You gotta check out the cover to number 5. It should be currently in stores or in stores very soon. So here's what Dexter Vines had to say.
Hold on, let me turn this down. I geek out about so many things, like, you know, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, True Detective, Atlanta Falcons football, any good art. You know, I'm a general pop culture geek in general. So, but those are some of my hits right now.
Next guy we talked to is Frank Better. You might know Frank Better from The Looking Glass Wars and Hatter M. He's a really cool guy. I actually like Frank Better a lot. I enjoy talking to him every year. I've seen him 3 or 4 times at Comic-Con. He's usually a repeat visitor. Here's what Frank Better had to say.
What do I geek out about? I probably geek out about... Do you know who Alan Tudyk is?
I think I've heard the name.
He's an actor here.
Yes, with the Firefly.
Yeah,
yes.
And I really like to geek out when I see him. So I start hyperventilating around him, and then he freaks out because I've seen him at a coffee shop in Los Angeles, and then he thinks I'm stalking him. So that's my favorite thing to do at Comic-Con is to freak him out. So I freak and geek out with Alan.
Then he went on to ask one of my favorites, Thomas Cook. I really like this guy. He's a great guy. He worked for Filmation. A lot of you might know his work on Thundar the Barbarian, Black Star, He-Man and She-Ra, Scooby-Doo, The Super Friends, and a whole host of all these Saturday morning cartoons that we used to watch when we were kids. He's one of the coolest guys to talk to. He's extremely nice.
I geek out about Spider-Man. When I was 11 years old, Spider-Man came out. Stan Lee and Steve Ditko made my world, and that's what made me get into drawing, and which eventually led to becoming an animator.